I must say, it's not often I get to stand here, but I now know what Stephen means when he says, "You are in great voice." Praise the Lord for that. But we are a resurrection people. As Augustine said a long time ago, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. For Easter is not just for one day, or even for a week. It's for every Lord's Day, and for every other day as well. And that should fill us with joy and peace and hope, not just on Easter morning, but every day. So the question is, how has the Easter story changed our lives? It's one thing to be convinced that Jesus was raised from the tomb, convinced in our minds. And it's quite another to know that he is alive and to live in the light of that. Let's briefly reflect on the resurrection appearances of Jesus in John's Gospel, starting there in chapter 20. First appearance is to Mary, close to the tomb. Initially, she thinks he's the gardener. She goes to tell the disciples the news. As someone says, it's good news from unlikely lips. The first witness, a woman, unlikely. And then there's Jesus' appearance in the upper room when the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. The disciples were fearful. They felt shame. They felt emptiness until Jesus speaks to them of peace and confidence and purpose and the Holy Spirit, so they're full of joy. Thomas was absent, but they told him, "We have seen the Lord." And a week later, they're together again. Thomas is present, and Jesus invites him to reach out his finger, to touch the nail prints, the gash in the Lord's side, to stop doubting and believe. And Thomas' response, he doesn't reach out. He just says, "My Lord and my God." So these disciples have seen the Lord, received his blessing of peace. They know joy. They've received instruction. And yet, in spite of all these wonderful experiences, the disciples haven't yet found the new direction for their lives. They don't know where it's leading them, this resurrection. And what about us? What difference? What direction does it give us that Jesus is alive today? How has the Easter story changed our lives? And so the disciples go back to Galilee. They're obeying the Lord's command given in Matthew 28. And it's in Galilee that Jesus appears, or we might say reveals himself. And that's the reading that Mary gave us in John 21. Let's focus on that for the next few moments. So when Jesus reveals himself, they go fishing, as we heard a while ago. It's Peter who suggests it. Six others, including Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, they go with him. Fishing was what they knew best, at least some of them. And after the emotional roller coaster of the previous few weeks in Jerusalem, that would have been good for their well-being. They're out in the boat at night, but just like at other times, they catch nothing. And they're frustrated and no doubt hungry as well. And it's into this situation that Jesus reveals himself. A situation of failure. And all of us feel a failure at some time or other. You've tried a job and it hasn't worked out. You want to build a life that's useful and nobody thinks you are. A relationship is in trouble and you're just hanging in there. You get settled in what you know is a good job, and then one day the boss calls you in and you've got your notice. As parents, you give all you can to your children, and in return, they turn the wrong way. And even those we think of success, who put forward a good face, may not think themselves that they are. All of us fail and have a sense of failure at some time or other, for failure is part of creation's fallen nature. And it's this that Christ comes to rectify and to restore. And maybe there's more specific failure for a Christian. You want to act the right way, to say the proper thing, to stand for goodness and truth, to speak and live as one of the Lord's people, to pray in a meaningful way, and yet we find ourselves letting him down in any one of numerous ways. And as for the church of Jesus Christ, we pray that we might be an appropriate influence for our strength and potential, to be an effective witness for Jesus, to be salt that stops society from going to the bad, to be light that draws people to Jesus. And yet, the church fails to be the church. One of our challenges here in Northern Ireland is to be involved in society and not to opt out. To think that our work, our family, our leisure activities are sufficient. I wonder how many middle class folk thought they weren't affected by the troubles. Our moderator has called attention to the vision for society drawn up in 2016. I just draw attention to a couple of phrases: that we're called by God to grace-filled relationships, to promote the counterculture of Jesus in a society where cultures clash. Called by God to grace-filled relationships, to promote the counterculture of Jesus in a society where cultures clash. Jesus reveals himself where his people fail. And often our failure is in seeing that he is necessary. Necessary to give direction to life and to witness in our daily work, in college, in time of spiritual difficulty, in our hour of failure. Remember, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." When does Jesus reveal himself? At our time of failure. And that's a clue to our next point. So here are the disciples. They've caught nothing. The risen Jesus appears as a figure on the shore, but he doesn't recognize them. And he calls out, "Guys, you've not caught anything, have you?" Yeah, they acknowledge the truth of that, their failure. "Cast out on the other side." And immediately the net is full and they can't haul it in. And John, with his spiritual perception, sees it is the Lord. Peter dives in and swims to the shore. This is an ordinary experience transformed by obedience to the command of the Lord. And for us also, the message of the Lord can reach us through some ordinary experience. Only afterwards, as we look back, do we realize who was actually in touch with us. When the disciples reach the beach, Jesus has prepared breakfast. They'd not been able to provide for themselves, but the Lord himself offers refreshment and sustenance, invites them, bring some of their catch, which of course he'd provided. Why did he appear at this point to the disciples? To fulfill their needs. And our need as individual followers of the Lord, as his church, is spiritual sustenance. Only he can provide the real food, forgiveness of sin, the freedom from guilt that failure brings, wisdom to know good from evil, strength to follow the right path, perseverance in what's good. Our need is that the Lord in his grace will draw near to us and give us what we need. And at the same time, there's also a reorientation for service. I know some of the disciples would remember a previous incident like this one, and that was formative. That incident closed with Jesus telling them they would catch people, not fish. And that's what they would be about when the Spirit came in power at Pentecost. That's why Jesus revealed himself to them. Why he revealed himself to Saul on the Damascus Road. Why he reveals himself to us to enable us to spread the good news, to minister to those in need, to bear witness by our common life that God's standards, God's will, is the best. We do not do it on our own. I will be with you until the end of the age, says the risen Christ. Our situations may not change, but our ability to cope will, for it is the Lord who fulfills our need. What's your need at this time? Spiritual sustenance? Reorientation for service? A fresh appreciation of his being with us? My third point is who he reveals himself to. Simply, those whose hearts are open to him. The disciples couldn't understand what was happening. They couldn't perceive what they should be doing, and yet they loved him and they trusted him. Some were quicker than others to perceive. John realized it was Jesus, John the quiet one, who spent more time listening to him. Peter, the man of action, never seems to be listening much. But God needs both the Johns and the Peters. Though in our day of constant action and busyness, the Lord looks for followers to have time to focus their spiritual eyes, that we might see him, to see what he's doing in our world, to see what's happening in the ordinary things of life. So do you feel as if your life has become something of a barren struggle? Are you living as if the Lord has not risen, is not alive? Look at the lovely invitation he extends to the disciples in verse 12. He says, come and have breakfast. He's always calling us to follow, to trust, to come and eat with him. Remember the invitation in Revelation 3? Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In the midst of failure, his way may not seem to make sense, but simple obedience to his commands is always worthwhile. His grace is sufficient. If he is risen and his resurrection is not in doubt, if he can be met, and that is a wonderful possibility, then all who follow him can, in the power of the Spirit, live lives in accord with his will. Let us all respond to his invitation to come to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as you held out your hands, inviting people to come, so you made that possible for all of us. No matter our background, no matter what we have done, you invite us to come to you. Help us to do that day and daily, knowing that you're a God of grace and of mercy and of love. Thank you, Lord, for that possibility. In Jesus' name, amen.